Katz, Tony Katz today. It's good to be with you. William Jacobson joins us right now, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com. This is not actually the subject I wanted to get onto with you, but I wanted to bring it up as a pretext, and I'll take any thoughts you have on it, to the story of this professor, the one who was there, I should say dean, the one at Stanford, the one who was all about the DEI, who wanted to excoriate people for not being good and decent, the DEI dean, diversity, equity, inclusion, Steinbach, who has now left her role at Stanford Law School because of how she treated Kyle Duncan, a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals judge. He was talking about COVID, guns, and Twitter, and all she did was lecture him about how he was triggering the students. She has a free speech, yet she no longer has the job. Does the conversation about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and what we heard from members of Congress and this conversation about this DEI dean, do they equate?
Well, no, because first of all, she was an administrator. And when acting in the capacity of an administrator, she needs to comply with school rules and school guidance. So she could go out on her own and say whatever she wants. But when you're acting in an administrative capacity, you have to act appropriately. But I think that the focus that everybody has, and I've written this for long since the incident, on her is misplaced. She's just a functionary. She's a cookie cutter. Take her out, put somebody else in the role, you're not going to see any difference. She did at that event what she thought was expected of her. Of course, the law school said, no, that's not what we expected of you. But it has nothing to do with her free speech when she's acting in the capacity as a dean. But I think focusing on her is wrong. I think the focus should be the culture at elite law schools, particularly Stanford in this case. And what is it about the culture there that breeds such intolerance? Because remember, she wasn't the one shouting down the judge. It was the students. And it's how she reacted to that that got her in trouble. But it was the students shouting down the judge. What is it about the culture at Stanford Law School that breeds that sort of contempt? And that's what I think really people should be focusing on. Getting rid of her, not getting rid of her, isn't going to change anything.
But in the larger context of free speech, she can say what she wants to say, but she has to deal with the consequences of it. Here we have members of Congress actively stating that maybe you shouldn't be allowed to say what you want to say, and they should be able to create the quote-unquote safeguards. This goes back to the famous statement regarding the Supreme Court, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, although that is constantly taken out of context. You teach the law at Cornell. You see these students. You work on these subjects all around the country. Are there students who are going to look at these members of Congress and say, that's absolutely right, we have to curtail people's ability to say what they want to say?
Well, yes. If you look at the surveys that are done nationally, a majority of students, depending on how the question is asked, sometimes a supermajority of students, accept preventing people who they disagree with or who, quote unquote, express hate speech, as they define it, of course, from appearing. There's a very high percentage, and I don't want to misstate it, but I think it was something around a third of college students believe that sometimes violence is justified to prevent somebody from speaking, or disruption is justified. So it's, you know, not just Stanford, it's not, you know, just a particular school. This is a problem. That's why I get back to the culture. We have bred a culture of intolerance among left-leaning students on campus, which is a significant portion.
Talking to William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com, let us talk culture. We have had this week IRS whistleblowers speaking in definitive terms about the investigation into Hunter Biden and the tax fraud being slow-walked. We have heard from whistleblowers in definitive terms say that prosecutors in D.C. said, no, we are not going to move forward on this case. Whether or not the U.S. attorney in Delaware, Weiss, was actually told he can't, he was not told about being able to engage charges in other states, while Merrick Garland, the attorney general, says we never tried to handcuff him, we never stopped him from engaging these charges. Then we get to Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, and putting forth this FD 1023 form for America to see. This interview the FBI did with a confidential informant saying that the Burisma CEO absolutely gave money to Hunter Biden and Joe Biden because he was coerced into it to be able to get a deal not to be prosecuted. The question before us is, I'll take your take on all of that. Doesn't this in any other situation, in any other world, with any other president, let's say someone named Trump or otherwise, doesn't this lead to at least a special prosecutor to look into it, a special counsel?
Well, I think it would. Special counsel is not the answer unless you have the right special counsel, because there have been special counsels who do virtually nothing and take 2 years. On the other hand, there are special counsels like Jack Smith, who are like a bull in a china shop, bringing charges against Trump, very quickly relative to the normal process. So I think it depends who the special prosecutor is. The point of Joe Biden is he's been corrupt his whole life. He's been a liar his whole life. I mean, he lied about, he plagiarized things when he was, I forget if it was in law school or soon after law school. I mean, this is who Joe Biden is. Why would anybody expect that he would tell the truth about anything? So we've got to get to the bottom of it, because, and I've been saying for 2 years now, it appears Joe Biden sold not just his office, but his future office, that he sold his influence. He sold the fact that he was going to be a presidential candidate to the highest bidders. And those highest bidders appear to have been in Ukraine and China. So, this is potentially the biggest scandal, dwarfing Watergate by far, certainly dwarfing the, inaccurate Russia collusion allegations, which were never proven. So this is massive. I mean, we have a vice president, presidential candidate who sold his office. That's what the documents coming out seem to indicate. And we better get to the bottom of it. We can't allow the media and the FBI to squash this thing just like they did in 2020.
One of the things that we saw was that when this came out yesterday, there was radio silence, except to say there was one mention of, look at this thing being leaked. Well, all of a sudden today, 24 hours later, that's the whole conversation. Look what Chuck Grassley has leaked. He has put lives in danger. He has put confidential human sources. You'll see CHS a lot written down, confidential human source. Put these people in danger. It is as if they were waiting. You talk about media. They were waiting to know what the talking point was so they could go forward.
We see this all the time. We see this all the time. When a Democrat does something wrong, the story becomes Republican reaction to it. Republicans pounce on it. We have a running joke about that. That's typical media. So it's not the wrongdoing. It's the reaction to the wrongdoing. And that's what you're seeing here. It's standard media. As long as you accept that the media, the mainstream corporate media, ABC, NBC, CNN, everybody, with the exception of the Murdoch papers, wants Biden elected. And if you just accept that's true, that everything they do is going to be to elect a Democrat, it all makes sense. And we shouldn't expect anything different. They should be different, but they're not. And it is so corrupting how our mainstream corporate media serves the purposes of one political party. That's why people have so little faith in anything anymore, because the one place they think they should at least get a fair shot, not necessarily a favorable shot, but a fair shot, which is the corporate media, which is media, they don't get. And that's really it. The press in this country is so corrupted by, political considerations. I mean, this should be everywhere. This should be round the clock on every TV channel. It should be front page in every major newspaper that the FBI had information that the now president of the United States was engaged in a bribery scheme. But that's not what you're hearing, as you point out.
And we have discussed this numerous times, that this is the biggest story in America, no matter how little coverage the press gives to it. But now let me get just a bit specific. And let's start with the concept of impeachment. Congressman Jim Banks of the Indiana 3rd District, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado, they have both come out to discuss impeachment. I'm not opposed to the concept. I'm opposed to the idea of rushing to something without the data. As you see it, a legal mind who has taken a look at all of the, what I will call evidence, but you might see it differently. Do you think there is enough known to go about engaging the idea of high crimes and misdemeanors? Or are you somebody who would demand the investigation to be able to get to the place? Or is it about what you just said? You can decide you need a special counsel, and Merrick Garland, the attorney general, can appoint a special counsel, but we already know Merrick Garland can't be trusted, so the special counsel is just going to take however many years to make sure this doesn't affect the 2024 election and then decide no wrongdoing took place.
Well, I think what the House needs to do is hold impeachment hearings. Before they vote to impeach, they should hold impeachment hearings, call witnesses, subpoena records, put it out there, and then make a decision. I think that because you can't trust the FBI, you can't trust DOJ, you can't even trust a special prosecutor acting under DOJ to do the right thing. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And all the things that are coming out now shows that they cannot be trusted to be politically fair. And so I think the House committee maybe needs to, the House needs to maybe vote to appoint an impeachment committee and take testimony and look into these things.
I want to make sure.
Not the same thing.
Yeah, because that's just it.
To impeach.
And that's just it. The idea of a committee is different than impeaching. So you're discussing taking this intermediary step. Don't run before you can walk. Go gather and build your case, not only if it's legally, but in the court of public opinion. That's your advice forward.
Yes, that's what I would do if I were in the House of Representatives, because I think that's the right way to do it. I don't know that we have enough right now, because the FBI is holding back things. DOJ is holding back things. They're running interference for Joe Biden. So I don't know that we have enough now to take that monumental step, but I think we should start the process of gathering that evidence, putting it out in the public, taking testimony in public for everybody to hear, except for things that, particular things that might not need to be put public. And let's have a hearing about Joe Biden and his family corruption.
This is the argument, because I've been making the argument that I don't want to jump into impeachment until we have it. And I've been saying investigation. You make a better point than I. That is absolutely right. The House should take it upon themselves, because Merrick Garland cannot be trusted. They should take it upon themselves to make this a not only public, but to dig as deep as they can. Absolutely right. Before I let you go, in 30 seconds, or less, the deal, the plea deal that Hunter Biden got, that should be pulled, shouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with what's come out from the IRS whistleblower testimony, a judge should be very skeptical of how that was reached and whether there was some corrupt process involved. Whether the judge will, I don't know. I assume the judge reads the newspapers, just like everybody else, or at least reads online and is aware of this. I don't know who, though, is going to present that case to the judge, because both Hunter and the feds want this to go through. So where is the independent person that is going to do this? And I think maybe, you know, the judge, just like we should have a House committee to gather evidence on impeachment, maybe the judge should appoint a magistrate judge or a special master to investigate the circumstances of this plea deal and report to the judge, whether that's public or not public. I really haven't thought that through, but I think that needs to be looked into. We can't have the specter that the son of the president is getting sweetheart deals when there are whistleblowers who have testified publicly that the process was corrupted and he received special consideration. Right. In that circumstance, I think a judge needs to find out more before deciding whether or not to accept this plea.
William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, LegalInsurrection.com is where you find him. And don't forget, a Sunday, July 23rd, 7:30 Eastern, online event, Discrimination by Algorithm, Will Technology Subvert Supreme Court's Affirmative Action Ruling? Check it out online, Sunday, 7:30 Eastern. Head over to LegalInsurrection.com. William, always a pleasure. More is coming up. I'm Tony Katz.
I tried so hard, my dear.
I had been searching for what the step was And I found the conversation with William Jacobson remarkably elucidating. The answer is Congress.